Hey, you're listening to the Canadian Asian Missional Podcast. This is episode 7. Today, we are talking about kingdom partnerships. Let's do this. Hey, thanks so much for joining us again on our podcast. We got a big topic today, kingdom partnerships. How does it look? What does it look like, especially as we are on the mission of God together? How does it look like within the church, outside of the church? Are we open to it? Big topic. Today we got Bernard and Shu with us. How are you guys doing?
Good. It's interesting we're talking about kingdom partnerships. And this morning when I was driving to John's house and like just getting off the highway and driving up Warden, and it's like, wow, that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like just 5 churches from a short stretch. And, you know, like, what would it look like when we begin to work together?
Yeah.
And so
you're talking about the Warden corridor, right?
Like, yeah, that's like 2 streets.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of churches around the area and where I live. Yeah, for sure. I think almost like a dozen churches just between like just 2 major city blocks. It's a lot of churches. Yeah. Anyways, we're going to just jump right into it. How do we first start with a theology of kingdom partnership? Where does this idea come from? You know, why should we be partnering with others? And what can that look like? So for you guys, how would you guys define a theology, or how would you guys cultivate a theology of kingdom partnerships?
I think at first you got to go back to what kingdom means in scripture. What is this kingdom that Jesus is talking about? And actually, a lot of the New Testament is talking about the gospel of the kingdom, of the kingdom where Jesus reigns as king. And the other side is people talk about kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God in the various gospels. And sometimes people see that kingdom as when you die. Christians, when you die, you go to kingdom of heaven, where God is in this kind of, you know, ethereal, you know, medieval kingdom castle where, you know, Jesus is king. And then, yeah, we're going to stay in that kingdom.
Like the kingdom is the afterlife.
Yeah, that wonderland, you know, afterwards. But I think the kingdom that Jesus talked about is different. So if we're talking about the good news of this kingdom, that Jesus, his death and resurrection, his ascension, actually all parts of his life and his story builds up to what this kingdom looks like, inaugurates him as king. We, as a part of his kingdom, kingdom citizens, we are invited into this kingdom. This, another term could be family.
Mm-hmm.
And we are invited into that, and not just to take in the benefits of being part of his kingdom or his family, but to be part of his mission as well, the mission to share this good news and to tell people about this good news so they will know King Jesus, they will see him reign in their lives, and they will see, you know, him working in this world. So in terms of a kingdom partnership, a theology of that, start this off is, at least what I think, is what does that look like for us as kingdom citizens? I don't want to just say this, but I guess maybe the church universal, how do we do this together? And at times it's very fuzzy. Mm.
Anything to add to that, Bernard?
No, I think Shu encapsulated most of it. I think that was a well thought through breakdown of what kingdom partnership looks like. And, you know, I'm just kind of looking at when Jesus, he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah, and he says, and he basically paints a missional picture of what the kingdom looks like. You know, and it's the kingdom here and now, and the kingdom that is to come. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, upon Jesus, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovering of sights to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Yeah.
And Jesus is painting a picture of what the kingdom looks like. And the work of the church, universal, is to learn how we're part of this plan, the unfolding of the kingdom of Jesus, of King Jesus. And we learn to do this together because we are only parts of the larger kingdom.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And especially, you know, even in that account of Jesus, after he reads that, he, you know, closes the scroll and says, today, this is fulfilled in the reading. It's not just the afterlife, which she was talking about just a little bit earlier ago, but this is happening now. It's breaking through now. And how are we all a part of it, right?
Just to bring up a theological thing that Scott McKnight has brought up in his book, Kingdom Conspiracy, I'll put that in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
He's argued that essentially he's equated kingdom with church. And for him, it's that kingdom is a people, and which makes sense. The kingdom is not just a place or things that people do, but it's actually the people itself. And it's like his always thing was that, do non-Christians do kingdom work? You know, and there's good questions like that. And you have a lot of theologians who have rebutted him for that. But it is a good question to ask. But in terms of like, what is the kingdom solely the church? I think I want to ask, or is it actually, is it the church people doing that kingdom work and being part of that building of that kingdom? As I think N.T. Wright says, building the kingdom.
Right.
Or is the kingdom more about this kind of out there work? I think people equate it to social justice. Oh, that's kingdom work. Or,
okay.
or this stuff that's beyond institutional church programming.
Right.
It could be part of the institutional church program too, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's both.
It's an and.
Yeah, because if we're talking about the kingdom, then yes, it's true. It's the people, but it's the people's orientation to the king. Right? So if the king is not involved, then that's not his kingdom.
Sure. Right?
So, you know, when we talk about the work of, you know, the social justice and whatnot, like, is it a worshipful work? Is it one that elevates the purpose and the reason why, you know, these work are being done, like, in the name of the king? There's always a banner. There's always a purpose behind it.
Sure. Right?
And so I think it roots back to Jesus.
And with this whole idea of kingdom too, and I'm just kind of bouncing off what you were talking about, what Scott McKnight had said about the kingdom, like equating a kingdom with the church. Do you feel, like, and this might be just kind of an open question, do you feel that tunnels things a little bit when we just relate it to people? Or do we see the kingdom and God's work in this world bigger than that?
Yeah, and I think that's the interesting question that I think Scott has brought up. And for me, I'm still dwelling on that. But I do see if God has chosen to use the church as part of that, isn't that the kingdom? But it's just, I think what people will argue or debate is kingdom beyond
right.
the church. And I'm not just saying institutional church, it's the church
universal.
Yeah, universal.
So how would you guys contrast the understanding of the kingdom and the idea of the kingdom to empire? We're not talking about Star Wars, we're not talking about Empire Strikes Back, but the whole idea of our own empire. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Trademark, John Williams.
Well, that's actually one of the reasons why I think there is this spiritual warfare that's happening within that. And that the gospel, the good news that Jesus has of the kingdom that he's proclaiming is saying that it's not about what the empire is all about. And I think at the time he's making this double entendre with both the spiritual kind of battle that's happening, but right. also
the Roman
the
empire.
Empire that was happening at then. So it's what is kingdom, Jesus' kingdom, and then what are the earthly kingdoms that we're also kind of engaging at that moment? Not in a violent, you know, it's like, oh, I'm an Anabaptist now. But,
insurgent, you know, I'm rebellious.
Yeah, but it's more like, what is going to be that kingdom work? And then what are the things that we're also, maybe we have to denounce or we have to resist is probably the better word.
And you know what? I'm even thinking back on what Bernard says too about like kind of Jesus as king over all things as well. And, you know, even Jesus says, like, you know, when it comes to that, like when it comes to the earthly kingdoms and such like that, you can't serve two masters. Either one person, either Jesus is Lord of your life or he's not, right? Or you're serving a different kingdom or you're serving a different master. And how does that look like communally? How does that look like within our churches? I think that's one of our conversations today.
And sometimes my fear is that even church itself, I think it's a reflection of the kingdom, but I also see that sometimes the church becomes such a fixation that it becomes its own empire. Mm. This gathering, this thing that we do as a local church becomes the building of an empire.
Sure.
And it's about fueling one's own name.
Sure.
And not, you know, elevating the name of Jesus.
Mm.
Not seeing the king as the king of the kingdom, but that we want to build this empire because we want to make a name for ourselves. Kind of like, you know, the Tower of Babel. Like they wanted to just build something that, you know, like that people will recognize, that nobody will not know our names from now on because we built this giant thing. But yet that's not giving glory to God.
And you know what? I think maybe even this type of language among those who are in the church today, some people might see it, like they might equate kind of those ideas together, right? Like they might say like, oh, if it's about just our church, that's the kingdom,
right?
Right? They might not even have that, as we've used in this podcast a lot of times, that greater imagination of how the kingdom can look as partnerships with others, as Christ being Lord over all things in life. Yeah, it's kind of stretching our kind of definitions, right?
Yeah, I mean, that has so much to do with mission, because it's like, are you advancing God's kingdom?
Exactly.
Or are you advancing the growth of your own church? And I'm not saying that
they those can't are not be, exclusive. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But where do we see the emphasis?
Right, right.
And I think that's why this topic of kingdom partnerships at times is difficult, is because I think not just for even Canadian Asian churches, but for churches at large, it's hard to discern what that looks like together.
Sure.
And it does take a discernment process, but I think it starts with, as we were mentioning, the gospel. Is Jesus Lord?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then are we going to ask that question when we have a chance for these partnerships? And it's just like, okay, Jesus Lord, let's not dismiss things too quickly.
Right.
How do we do this all together under him? And that could be not being partnering in every single thing, but also what can we be partnering together to reveal what the kingdom looks like?
That's the other side of the coin as well, right? Like, how do we discern the partnerships that we engage in, right? Because, you know, looking out into the world and seeing how God is breaking in through so many different ways, right? Through so many different organizations and people and different ways, you know, what are the areas that we do invest our energy and our time and our resources into so that we can be part of God's kingdom in this world? But like you were saying, there's no possibility that any one church or community can do everything. So that's the other side of the coin too, right? Like, not to dismiss, but at the same time, not to just be like, well, we need to do like every good cause and every kingdom work that we see is necessarily the work that we need to be jumping on board with, right?
This is a mindset change. You know, we often take the language of Paul as he describes the body of Christ, and there's like different parts, and there's different, you know, some are hands, some are feet, some are, you know, like the lesser importance of the appendix.
But all have their uses.
But all have their uses. But we take that in a microcosm level, but we don't actually take that as a macro level, where the larger church universal, is actually the larger body of Christ. Right. And, you know, I remember years ago when we first like met David Fitch at that bar, and there was like debate between the Neo-Anabaptists and the Neo-Reform. Right. And then I think at the end, like Daryl Dash, who hosts this theological pub, he says, at the end of the day, we kind of need both. We need the practical tools of the Anabaptists and how they practice, but we also need the deep theology of the Neo-Reform.
Not that Neo-Anabaptist is not...
No, I'm not saying that. But we look at the strengths,
sure,
right? And we look at, you know, the differences, and we get to celebrate that if we recognize that Jesus is Lord, and Lord over all.
Yeah. I think this is a good place to ask, are Canadian Asian churches game for being partners? Are they open to that partnership? Or do they even have that perspective and understanding of that they play a part in the kingdom of God, and how can they come alongside others as well?
Oh, wait, then. You hear that? It's crickets.
Oh, man. Here we go. Yes. It's a conversation that I think, out of the experiences that I've had in talking with other pastors, that it is something that people are talking about. What does it look like? But maybe, are they even there yet? Is there openness to kind of explore? Would they even take that step? Like, or would they even be up for taking a step toward a specific direction to partner with someone else, right?
I think some of it's territorial. you're even saying, like, there's tons of churches on, you know, this area alone, but then it's like there's a territory. And I also think it's a good thing that different churches reach different people. That's a very important thing. But can we also partner up in other areas to reach out to other people?
Yeah.
And partner to display, demonstrate the kingdom. And
that's a posture of humility, too, knowing that church as an organization isn't able to do everything as well, right?
Yeah. Totally agree. I totally agree. Here's one of my thinkings about this, the issue. And I think it's easier for individuals to partner, mm-hmm. but it's harder for larger communities or organizations to do it, especially if you have certain stances or certain kind of, you know, the way that you always, traditions, you've always done things. So I've definitely seen more individual partnerships or very
sure.
ground level partnerships. But on the bigger level, it gets harder and dicier.
Yeah.
Because it's messier, really. I mean, you have so many people with so many different views to come together on a common denominator that leads you to do something else. Mm. Like it's messier. Like the more voices you have, the louder it gets.
Sure. Right?
And it does get harder to hear.
But, you know, even when you're talking about individuals having certain convictions or partnering with others, that, you know, taken to an extreme can feed into a divisive force among the church where, you know, you'll have, you know, a community made up of a lot of individuals going different directions and feeling convicted among different paths. And then they bring that back to the understanding of who we are as a church and then everyone's saying like, oh no, we should be invested in this and we should be invested in this. And there's kind of this pull at the community. And that's an extreme case, of course, but you know, it has happened, right? Where people have left community faith because maybe they believe that, oh, this church isn't about this. They're not about this, you know, one issue, or why aren't they not engaging in this particular one situation? You know, Shu mentioned earlier when we were talking about like crickets and they're not being as big of a push or conversation. What do you guys think are some of the things that hold Canadian Asian churches from partnering with others?
It's a posture. It's like I think what Bernard was saying, like, or what you were saying, that the posture of humility to even talk, and maybe there isn't even space to do that. Like, I could tell you, I'm at a larger church. It's hard enough to have kingdom partnerships at times with other congregations in my church, and we're, you know,
that's just internal.
I know. Some people just, yeah, that's, I'm like,
the office across when you have, the street.
Yeah, when you have thousands of people, like, you know, you're wrestling with that. Yeah. And that, you know, that brings up other questions. If you're doing that and it's hard enough, you don't, like, this is the modern church, I'll say, where you're going to all these meetings, you don't have time to go talk to people outside. Mm.
And you partner any other cause, right?
You're building up your own ministries, your own programs, your own outreach stuff.
Sure. Which a lot of the conversation, too, is, you know, then goes toward the resources and where do we invest the finances into, right?
That's the key, what you just said. You're building your stuff. You're building your programs. You're building your empire.
Mm.
And perhaps, again, and I'm not here, you know, just to speak ill of it because, you know, I do my own stuff too, right? But when we look at how we're thinking through church and what it means for church to impact and bring about the gospel of the kingdom, where are the spaces of how we are witnessing as churches?
Mm.
Like, where are the spaces that we can learn from each other? Where are the spaces that we can collaborate to utilize the gifts that God has given us? You know, like, I firmly believe that if the church is to be the witness of the body of Christ, like, if we can't even get along with the people that share the name of church, then how do we be true witnesses to the world?
That's big.
And and what I've kind of noticed too is this is a phenomenon not in, you know, where the missions need it most. This inability to imagine kingdom partnership happens in Christendom places, in I guess, mostly from the West, Because like if you look at churches overseas, you look at churches in the Middle East, you see the situations of, you know, persecutions and danger. The churches know, like, these are our allies. If we don't connect with these guys, we got no one.
Hmm.
But yet when we come back to North America, we won't come back to, you know, we come back to Toronto. Like, I don't think we see it the same way. And so I wonder if we need to learn more from our overseas partners and churches that, like, you know, I think they're getting something that we're not.
Sure.
I think that's speaking to like churches in the margins a little bit, that there is a certain thriving that happens when you have to depend on not just your own resources, but you're in it together. But here in the land of plenty, you're well-resourced, you're self-resourced.
Sure.
You don't need to ask for help. I think that's probably one of the big things about how hard it is to be humble, that you don't even need to ask for help.
Yeah. And I think that would go across the board for a lot of the Canadian Asian churches. That would be very similar, right?
And it's not even just only Christendom European mindset. Like, you look here in scripture, like I was thinking about this, about Paul and Apollos, right? In 1 Corinthians 3, where he's like, you know, one of you, I follow Paul, and the other, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? What is Paul?
Yeah.
Only servants through who you came to believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God is making it grow.
Sure.
For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. This is the kingdom talk.
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff. But there's all these things, which is Christendom, I would plays a part in it. I totally agree. But it's just like it's happened back then too,
yeah.
And it's happening again in a sense now.
You know, and yeah, for sure.
We see it very evident in the Canadian Asian church.
Yeah. And like, I'm glad that even like in another passage, it's, you know, Paul even says, you know, some of you guys even say, I'm following Jesus, right? And just being like, well, I'm part of the right, right? And then Paul, Apollos is off on their own world or doing something else, but he's kind of bringing it all back together. He's like, it's the same Lord, right? Who do you guys see that Canadian Asian churches normally partner together with?
Many ways Canadian Asian churches have partnered is probably overseas missions.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of connections and support there. You know, I was part of a church that was part of a church that was one of the highest givers and supporters of overseas missions.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to give it to the Asian church for their generosities for overseas missions. They work really hard to create a DNA of giving.
Sure.
And it's incredible.
And that can be part of partnership.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, one aspect of partnership, and there's no denying of that. I think what the harder part of partnership is the local part. Mm. What does local partnership look like for Canadian Asian churches? And I think that is almost unfathomable. Like, what do you mean? Like, you know, you have your stuff going on. Like, you know, we have our stuff. And so I think what I've seen in partnership best is overseas.
Right.
You know what that makes me think of, man? It's like a lot of our programming in Canadian Asian churches is for ourselves. But if you're talking about this, where a lot of those kingdom partnerships happen because they're sending people to foreign land, a space where there's no churches or, you know, no church at all, maybe, and they're under-resourced, there's not a lot of people helping there. They're trying to put resources there. You know, we've been talking about this in this, you know, this whole theme of our Canadian Asian Missional podcast is this direction of sending. The church is supposed to be the sending church, and we need to be sending people, sending churches locally.
Mm.
And if our programs don't reflect that, then of course, let's just make sure we're building up our small groups and Sunday school and this stuff way better, which I think we do for the sake of having well-rounded disciples or something like that. But if you're only focused on that, or let's have ministries that, you know, let's drop in basketball or make fun of more sports stuff, but you know, let's keep, you know, making us feel better or our church building feel better or whatever, but we're not sending people out, helping, modeling to them what this reaching out, this kingdom, sharing the gospel of the kingdom looks like, then maybe our priorities are out of whack.
Mm.
So when we create those programs, which we need, I'm not saying we should, you know, poo-poo over programs.
Right.
But do our programs bring people towards the sending place?
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, when you're saying that, it's also bringing to mind that there has to be this relearning of what sending means. Because, you know, earlier on when we were talking about missional back in episode 2, about how there was always this tradition that being missional means missionaries, right, that are going to another part of the world. And so for you to use the language of sending, a lot of people might be like, yeah, we support missionaries. That's sending.
Yep.
Right? Like, that's the understanding. That's the language they use. But what we're kind of trying to bring it about is, like, you know, what does it mean to be the sent people mm-hmm. here in our own city, among our neighborhoods, and also alongside other churches, other organizations as well, kingdom partnerships, right? What are some of the examples that you guys have seen of how churches or Christian communities have fostered these kingdom partnerships?
Well, an example is my church, which is a non-denom church, partnered with a Baptist church downtown to help plant a Presbyterian church in the harborfront area. And it's cool to see stuff like that happen. And
yeah, cross-denom.
Yeah, that it's not just about, you know, only about our ship, our thing, but, you know, we're willing to do that.
So our church is really small. Like, we're a gathering of 25, and mm-hmm. we've been doing stuff for the neighborhood and for the city. We know that we can't host like a giant Christmas dinner or something like that for the neighborhood, and we needed partners to come along. And I still remember a couple of Christmas ago, and we were just, you know, standing around with all our partners who are at this Christmas dinner together, and there was like probably 11 churches and 6 denominations together, and we had the sole purpose of putting together an awesome Christmas dinner for the neighborhood in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think like that was, I think for us all, a learning experience. Like, you know, this is what the kingdom's about. Like, it's not about your theological differences. It's not about which church are these people going to go to.
Right, right. It's not territorial.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's about, like, we want to proclaim the good news of Jesus. We want to have an awesome meal with these neighbors. And we want to be a witness that, like, we don't draw the line on the sand with our denominations.
Mm.
We embrace each other because of Christ.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was one of the examples that, you know, like, we've witnessed and experienced that.
Yeah.
Also, other examples, you know, like, we know in Hamilton, there's a thriving network called True City Hamilton, and it's interdenominational, and, you know, they host conferences together. They do stuff together. A good friend of ours, Jay Tripp, he's doing something in his church along with like 40 other churches in his neighborhood.
Wow. Yeah.
Sudbury.
Yeah. It's like a city collab thing, you know, just trying to be a social presence there.
Sure.
We should give shout outs to New Leaf.
New Leaf.
New Leaf Canada? I don't know what
New Leaf Network.
New Leaf Network. Okay. Yeah, that we want to partner with this, you know, missional church planting organization that's stretching out all over Canada.
I mean, they started with multiple denominations, right? Like, it was a conversation between the CBOQ, the Christian Missionary Alliance, and the Free Methodists, and just how do we leverage, nice. Right? And I love the story behind that, because, you know, like, Canada is becoming, you know, post-Christian and almost like post-secular, and we're in an age where, like, how do we bring about the gospel to this nation of ours? And these church plant leaders sat together and says, we need to leverage each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to be on mission together to, you know, to build up and to strengthen together. And, you know, like, it's been cool to journey with these guys from New Leaf, and also, like, in my own denomination, because I'm seeing, you know, church plants that have 3 different backings, and
yeah,
and they're like, how do you align theologically? But yet it works out, because, you know, they're still trying to figure that out. Mm-hmm. But what's more important is, you know, let's get this plant going.
Sure. Yeah. Awesome. And even in your life, Bernard, I think one of the things that I've been very encouraged by is how you've been on this journey of seeing if you can partner with other churches to start a coffee shop, right? That would be a presence in that neighborhood. And you're crossing ethnic backgrounds too, because you're partnering with churches from other ethnicities as well, right? Like, that's a huge thing, right? That's definitely kingdom partnership.
Yeah.
All right. As we're kind of wrapping things up, we're going to give you guys a takeout box, something that we definitely want you guys to remember and wrestle with and chew on, something that would be helpful, especially as we move forward together. So maybe we're going to start with Shu. What is your takeout box in the area of kingdom partnerships?
One thing for me, being in a larger church, I'm so busy as it is, and talking to various pastors and leaders and whatnot. I also realized I needed space, you know, outside my local church to talk to other people, to build up space like that. And, you know, this is actually where this, some of this podcast sprouted out from, that we have a missional conversation group with some pastors to encourage each other, to be on mission, to share the struggles that we're going through, to learn together. And I think that was my attempt to try to build some of that kingdom partnership. And, you know, we're all about Jesus. We want to see him Lord. We want to see that mission flourish, join him in what he's doing. That for me was like a pivotal point where I was like, how could I be involved with people not a part of my local church, but I want to, but I still am very much involved in my local church. So it's just, that was for me, the stepping out in faith side. And, you know, and I'm it's awesome to see where it's kind of spread, and we're getting some new people involved and hearing these different stories, what God is doing. And it's an encouragement so that we can continue going back out and continuing sharing that gospel of the kingdom, living it out.
Awesome. Bernard.
The kingdom partnership, it begins with narratives and the mission. I think about the Christian Missionary Alliance, and in fact, it's interesting because the Christian Missionary Alliance was not a denomination when it first came. It was Kingdom Partnership.
Right.
It was between three different pastors from three different denominations, of a Presbyterian, Baptist, and I think it was a Methodist. And then they were saying, we just need to do mission, man. Like, there's a lot of people out here who don't know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, how do we collaborate and be on mission together?
That's so awesome.
Right? And we see so much of that in Paul's writing too, and how they're sending people, they're sending resources, they're, you know, like sending leaders, you know, like Paul was sent out with Barnabas. They were the top dogs, you know, to go do church planting. And I think when we allow the Spirit of God to kind of help us see, you know, the narratives that are being unraveled in our city, in our neighborhoods together, like it gives us this platform where I think churches and Christians can work together.
Mm-hmm.
And we can hold these structures that we hold so dearly, not as tight. And then I think it will create something beyond our imagination, because God is so big that way.
Yeah.
And I would encourage people to share your dreams, because I wonder if it just begins there. Like, God has given us like a God-sized dream, and if we don't share it with other people, like, how do we begin to see the interweaving networks of partnership that could form?
Sure.
We need a bigger story, man.
A bigger story.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. And like hearing from others as well, what they've been sensing God give them in terms of a vision for a bigger church.
Like, what if we collaborated and planted churches at every subway station and call it the Yonge Street Corridor? Right?
The TTC church.
Yes. we call that. I look at every station and I'm like, there's a Starbucks at every station. But there isn't a lot of churches at every station that is specifically for the neighborhood. But then, like, recently I was meeting another pastor and a professor, and like, they had the same vision. But then if we don't, you know, like, share these God-sized vision and just think like, that's stupid, that's like way beyond what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we know that maybe God is already preparing people on a similar path? And so, like, dream big and talk about these dreams.
Yeah.
And learn to engage with each other and work with one another. Like,
mm-hmm.
Just remember that we're on the same team.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Hey, thank you so much for joining us today on the Canadian Asian Missional Podcast. Join us next time as we talk with Mark Allen Groleau. It'll be a great follow-up to this episode about how we can shift culture through telling a bigger story, through the power of stories, and how presenting or, you know, sharing a bigger vision of the kingdom for others can start to change people's lives. So join us next time for that. And thank you guys so much for listening. Please remember to subscribe on iTunes and on Podbean. Please rate and review our episodes. We'd love to hear from you guys and to hear your comments as well. Let us know how you are engaging with the content from this episode, how you are striving to live missionally, how maybe you are partnering with others. We'd love to hear from you. Anyways, you can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, or by email. And once again, this is the Canadian Asian Missional Podcast. Thank you for joining us on this journey, and we'll see you guys next time.